Happy Monday, family. This is WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, and I've got a simple question for you. With two more additions to this year's Hall of Fame, is this the greatest Hall of Fame class in WWE history? We're going to get into that, TNA sacrifice, and the crazy road to WrestleMania. This is WWT Live.
Hey, y'all. It's Kona.
And I'm Chaos. And you're watching,
Women's Wrestling Talk.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
New phone, who dis? New intro, who dis? Hey, it's the Professor Gerard Bonner. This is WWT Live as part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. I hope you are well. I hope you are somewhat recovering from losing an hour of sleep, gaining an hour of sunshine, but still plenty of wrestling conversation to go around. We're going to get into all of the things that have happened in the last few days in the space of pro wrestling, but I am not handling this alone. Oh, no, 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 no. I've got the master of all things honey pot predictions. She's got the honey smackdown thing going on, the watch alongs, you name it. She's got it. Wrestling with Honey is in the building. How are you, ma'am?
I'm doing wonderful. Another weekend down, another week passed, another week to go, and we got more weeks to go, and yay!
Yeah, so you know, the road to WrestleMania is starting to move quickly. Of course, we're officially like in March, and we're less than 4 weeks right now, which is kind of crazy when you start thinking about it. Yeah, let me ask you something. How are you dealing with daylight savings time?
I love it. I love it. Okay. Give me the sunshine, please. Just bring it. Just the faster spring comes, the better it is. I'm an Aries, so I was made for the spring season.
Nice.
I'm just ready for it. The fresh flowers and all that. We got a little windy and rain. That's fine. We'll deal with it. But more sunshine is always better.
Did that extra hour of sleep or lack thereof do anything to you?
No.
No. Okay, good.
Honestly, I've been on a kick where I'm kind of like going to bed, like not late like I used to, but decent late somewhat. Okay. And then waking up early, like I'm getting a little healthier, how do you say, movement going on with my clock. It's so crazy.
I'm here for healthy movement for sure. This is the second consecutive year that I was traveling as the time changed. So it's very traumatic when you look down and it's 1:59 and then it's 3 o'clock. Very traumatic.
So, you know what? That I understand. Yeah. That happened to me. I went on vacation during a time change last summer, and that was pretty wild.
Yeah. So it was wild. But we are here. We are excited. It's going to be a good show for sure because there is plenty to talk about. They're already hollering in the chat, and that's great. Shout out to Cousin Ron. Good to see you. Shout out to Bobby. Also to Eddie. Great to see you all. And so let's get into it because there's plenty to talk about. We're leading off asking a simple question. Are we looking potentially at the greatest Hall of Fame class in WWE history? Let's talk about why we're making this particular statement. So we found out a week ago today that Paul Heyman was the first inductee announced for the class of 2024. Then we found out that Bull Nakano is joining him, which again, it's very rare that a female entry is announced that early. So I'm really excited about that. On Friday, we found out that the US Express, the team of Mike Rotundo and Barry Windham, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Their history is amazing collectively and individually. Many may not realize just how far back Mike Rotundo goes, but you know him individually as IRS. He had an amazing career in the NWA, multiple-time tag team champion, of course, with Barry Windham here, later on with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. And of course, Barry Windham, my lord, what else can you say about Barry Windham, a member of the Four Horsemen, which will make this his second Hall of Fame ring? That's pretty cool. Many don't know that these two are related by marriage. I believe it was Mike Rotundo who married Barry Windham's sister. And so that's how all of this is going down. And of course, many are now aware that Mike Rotundo is the father of both Bo Dallas and Bray Wyatt, which would make Barry Windham Bray's uncle. So the U.S. Express, they were the tag team champions going into the very first WrestleMania. And that was really incredible. Ironically, they would lose those tag titles at WrestleMania to Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik in the first title change in WrestleMania history, for those who might need that on a upcoming trivia question, or if you're on Jeopardy at some point, you'll need that for sure. So before we get into today's announcement, we've talked about the other two members of the class of 2024. Your thoughts on the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo?
It makes my heart smile. It absolutely makes my heart smile. Anytime for it to see another, well, we have a second Hall of Fame ring for Barry Windham. I mean, yes. You can't go wrong there. And then Erwin R. Scheister is so well-deserved. I mean, I love Mike Rotundo, and we love the work that they've put in and done for us, even when he had his little run with Ted DiBiase. Mm-hmm. I've seen this running around a lot on the internet. A very missed opportunity, an interesting thing with Mike Rotundo. If he was Erwin R. Scheister and teamed up with The Undertaker, Death and Taxes would have been the team.
That's interesting. He ended up at some point feuding with The Undertaker, which is also interesting. So
which was quite the opposite. But
The opposite.
Mm-hmm, but I'm so happy for this. And it kind of gets me excited for if there's a possible other induction that could be happening this year as well. So I'm just going to, let's just put that energy in the universe. And I think that's going to be, it's going to be beautiful and special, a very special ceremony, especially considering with who was announced today.
Absolutely. And we will get into today's announcement, but let's get into some of these comments about the U.S. Express. Special little nobodies. Welcome aboard. He says, as a young mustache, Barry Windham was my favorite. His horseman era was the bomb. He was really amazing as a horseman. Jose says, Hall of Fame 2024. Yes, this is part of the Hall of Fame 2024 class. Bobby says, it's awesome to see the U.S. Express in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. Let's see. Boza says, Barry and Mike have had great careers. They could each go in a few times. That is absolutely agreed. They totally could. And so he asked the question, do we think Bray Wyatt will be inducted or is it too soon? I honestly think he will be. I think that's going to happen. And I think it's going to happen this year. I think the template for that was Eddie Guerrero. When Eddie Guerrero passed in November of 2005, 2006, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
The following year, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So I think there's a strong possibility that we'll see Bray Wyatt inducted in. Cousin asked, is there anything to be said about how late the announcements are coming? You know, I'm actually okay with this. And here's one of the reasons why. I think, you know, they made those announcements before so early, you know, they would start announcing Royal Rumble time. And during that, I mean, they would end up dragging out the Hall of Fame announcement so long until you would kind of lose your excitement about it. I think in this particular case, with them starting in March, you remain excited. The other thing that's different too is during the time when they would announce during the Royal Rumble, the Hall of Fame was its own separate night. With WrestleMania moving to two nights, the Hall of Fame is literally tacked on to the back of SmackDown, which means the ceremony isn't as long and you really can't or shouldn't induct as many people because obviously, you know, everybody's speeches would end up being super rushed. So I'm not upset with it. It is a different thing. And I think this is one of the effects of us going to a two-night WrestleMania. But that's a great question. Let's see. Bray would be proud of his father. He certainly would. And something tells me this is going to be a very emotional Hall of Fame class. So I think this is going to be something. And speaking of that, we found out today that there is yet another inductee into the Hall of Fame, and he is the greatest of all time, literally, Muhammad Ali. will be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And what's so interesting to me about this is I don't know that a lot of fans fully understand the connection between Muhammad Ali and the sport of pro wrestling. Most may remember him being kind of that outside official who was a celebrity at the original WrestleMania, but his involvement in the sport actually predates WrestleMania. So many may not know that late in, I would say probably the 70s, early 80s, there was a lot of talk, kind of like there's talk today about the best combat sports. Is it MMA or is it pro wrestling? Back then, it was a battle for supremacy between boxing and pro wrestling. And there were moments where you would have a number of professional boxers challenge pro wrestlers. And clearly, Muhammad Ali, being the greatest of all time, had no problem doing that. In fact, he went to the very famous Nippon Budokan arena in Tokyo, Japan, to compete in what was called the War of the Worlds. It was a battle between Muhammad Ali and Antonio Inoki. And this particular match ended up a 15-round draw. And while it happened in Tokyo, Japan, again, this predated WrestleMania, it ended up streaming to this massive Shea Stadium show that was happening so that people could watch it in New York. So again, just an amazing move. Muhammad Ali closely connected with this sport, and he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Your thoughts on the greatest of all time finding his place now in the WWE Hall of Fame?
What was funny is that when I saw the announcement pop up on my feed, I was like, he wasn't inducted already? For a moment. Because it's like, you know, but it makes total sense. Yeah. Because he was part of WrestleMania 1 as well as the US Express. They were both part of the same WrestleMania, and he was a referee in that match. Mm-hmm. And 40 years of WrestleMania, what better way to induct greatness and, you know, attract more greatness to the WWE and Hall of Fame, and to show how special this WrestleMania is going to be. It attests to the fact that, you know, the longevity of how long this has been. This has been a moment that has started from when he was there, and he was a part of that. He was one of the many reasons why WrestleMania even happened.
Absolutely. You
know, it brought all the eyes, it brought crossover from boxing into sports entertainment as well. And it was just, you know, that was the same. You had Hulk Hogan, Mr. T, Roddy Piper at the main event. It was bananas. You had to be there, you know. I feel like it was definitely one of those places where you had to be there. I, of course, wasn't born yet, but for that first WrestleMania, but that, and at Madison Square Garden too, like you know, it's just in the facts. It's all in the facts, you know. For the youngins that don't really have their full education on this, you might want to go and watch it. Consider the fact that Peacock has a lot of things to watch that's WWE worthy, and you should get into the history of it. It's amazing. Amazing. And so well deserved to Muhammad Ali. I heard that his widow is going to be inducting him as well.
Oh, that's dope. I wasn't sure if it would be her or his very famous daughter, Layla Ali.
Oh, I was hoping for a moment.
Yeah, which, I mean, you never know. But I will say this, I shouldn't say this here because I already know it's going to happen. I already know, but I'm going to say it. I think it would be cool at some point, you know, maybe leading up to WrestleMania, if we're able to do a show that specifically delves into the origin and the history of WrestleMania, because you're right. This show has reminded me that everybody's had different entry points into the world of pro wrestling. And so because they have, not everybody has the time or the patience or even the interest to kind of go back firsthand and research some of these things, go back and watch the original WrestleMania and things like that. For instance, and that number is now changing with these last two inductees. So if I count the last two set of inductees, I can now tell you that at the original WrestleMania, there were 19 future Hall of Famers. Just consider that to show you how big WrestleMania was, right? So right. I think at some point we can have, and you guys let me know, because maybe even we can take an episode of WWT Live and do, just as we're leading to WrestleMania, to talk about that. If you guys are interested in that, let me know in the chat. If you're not, also let me know, and we won't waste our time with it. But certainly shout out to Muhammad Ali. People may not remember, I think it was 2005 or 2006, one of those two classes where it felt like the whole main event of WrestleMania 1 was being inducted together. It was Hogan, the Iron Sheik, Roddy Piper, Paul Orndorff, I think Cowboy Bob Orton. I think they all were like inducted the same year.
Jimmy Hart.
Jimmy Hart.
2005. Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
I was looking as you were saying, like, could this be the greatest class ever? Because I was like, oh, am I out to rival with this one? But then also the year before that, you also in 2004 had Big John Studd, Don Morocco, Hammer the Valentine, Harley Race, Ventura, Junkyard Dog, Sergeant Slaughter, Billy Graham, Tito Santana, Heenan, and Pete Rose. So those lists are insane. Now looking at it on the paper here, but it's just like, wow, okay. 2007 even too, the same year with Dusty and Fuji, the Sheik, Jim Ross, you know what I'm saying?
There have been some pretty powerful classes, and so you know, this one is already looking way up there in terms of the most impressive Hall of Fame classes. And I hear there could be at least one more inductee. I'm not sure who that would be, but I think there's some cases to be made for a few people for sure.
Absolutely. And I think there's a good number so far. Was this like our fifth announcement?
This is the fourth announcement.
Announcement. Usually there's like maybe five altogether and a warrior award of some kinds. And and it makes sense because there's always a celebrity inductee as well. So shout outs to Muhammad Ali for the anniversary of the 40th after being a part of the first, you know, the late great Muhammad Ali.
Absolutely. I would love to make a case for two people, which I don't know if they'll get inducted at this point or not, but I think it'd be interesting. On one hand, Lex Luger, who, given all that he's done, and interestingly enough, obviously, with Sting's retirement, I think it would be interesting to see Lex Luger inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think history has proven that your WWE career alone doesn't have to be amazing if you've made larger contributions outside of the WWE. And I think Lex Luger absolutely has. So I think Luger would be a great choice. I see Bobby is saying Fit Finley would be a great choice. I totally agree. Given what he's done both in and out of the ring, you know, most don't realize that the women's revolution that we have now is greatly in part to Fit Finley. Yeah. So that would be amazing.
I think we also talked about it too, where we thought like Finn Finley could get like a warrior award of some kind, or even DDP. I think we mentioned too last week, but
I like the DDP choice. I also think just from a geographical space, it would be amazing. And this name some may not be familiar with, but I promise you, when you understand what this person has done, you'll go, oh, yeah, I think that should be a person to consider. And that is Victor Perry. Now, you guys may not know his name, but you do know his work. He is the creator of the Wrestling Club, which has been this after-school club for this school there in New York City that has just provided all sorts of great moments. Tons of wrestlers have come to visit and talk to these kids. These kids actually have had funding to go to previous WrestleManias last year for sure. And Cody Rhodes has already funded a number of these children to go to WrestleMania this year. So I think that would be pretty awesome. Obviously, there are other choices that they could make, but I'd love to throw their names in the hat for consideration. But certainly the Hall of Fame looks like it's going to be one that you won't want to miss. It will air the night before WrestleMania Saturday, and it will air right after SmackDown. So you guys will want to check that out. And that's going to make for a very, very, very busy WrestleMania weekend for sure, because that same night there will also be the Ring of Honor Super Card of Honor, which will go head to head with that. And that's just kind of how things go in terms of wrestling. So I think that should be wild. Now, I mentioned WrestleMania Saturday. Last Friday on SmackDown, we found out officially what the WrestleMania Night 1 main event would be. And a lot of people may or may not be happy about it. But it is what it is. As Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes have accepted the challenge from the Bloodline for a tag team main event to main event Night 1, WrestleMania Saturday, as it will be Seth and Cody taking on Roman and The Rock. And that looks like it's going to be an insane match. And the stipulation for this, of course, is if the Bloodline loses, or better yet, I should say, if Cody and Seth win, then the WrestleMania main event on Night 2, or should I say co-main event, will be Bloodline free. But if the Bloodline wins, then it will be Bloodline rules. And as we talk about the Bloodline, who should join us but a government official himself, a mayor in one town, a resident in another. We raise our ones and acknowledge the mayor of all good things, Vice City, and the perhaps future mayor of Parkerville. Set is in the building.
How's everybody doing today?
Ben. Doing good.
What have I missed so far? What have I missed? I think I came in at a very good time.
Yeah, we were talking about Hall of Fame, and now we are moving into this WrestleMania piece, which this will be good. And we'll start with you, and then we'll move to Honey. I want to get your thoughts on this segment that announced this match. It was how we ended SmackDown, the first time all four of these men were together since the press conference that featured the slap around the world. And, well, we got another slap for our troubles. Said, what did you think of SmackDown's ending this past Friday night?
Well, number one, I think they tried like hell to not go over time. If you see all the people in the stadium that actually posted those videos, the cameraman telling Dwayne, like, keep it going. They didn't want to pay those fees. So good on them for staying on time. I thought this was a good segment. I feel like everybody kind of looked strong in the segment from a verbal standpoint. And we now know this is going to be a part of WrestleMania. So, and I still feel very iffy about this, but apparently we're getting double duty Seth, and I don't know how good that's going to be from a long-term health standpoint. But the layers of this are still being uncovered, because we have what's going to be Bloodline rules. If the Bloodline wins, is The Rock trying to swerve? Is Roman Reigns feel like he's being undermined? Is Seth going to turn on Cody? I think people aren't talking about that enough. I mean, somebody who beat you 20 something times in a row, when you include live events, like, that sticks with you for a while. And then he kind of says, hey, I don't want to face your WrestleMania. As we know, that Shield brotherhood is forever. So I wouldn't put that past an option as well. It's really good that there's so many storylines. I guess this, if I'm being fair to Dwayne, because I haven't been very fair, that was a very good promo that he dropped on IG on Friday. Very entertaining, very good. And this is the safest way to get him back into ring shape, is to have him in a tag team match with three of the top performers in the company. So kudos all around, everybody. We'll see what happens. I think this has to lend to, like, there's no way Seth and Cody win, right? There's no way. That, because the odds have to be heightened to make the moment very, very, like, tantalizing. So however we get there, where The Rock can wield all his power on Sunday night and maybe do something against the grain, I think that's what we're doing.
Honey.
I was so stressed on Friday towards that end. Those last 15 minutes had me stressed and on the edge of my seat. And I was just like, who's going to say what? And Seth was getting very mouthy to The Rock. And I was just like, I beg your pardon. And I'm just like, you know, then I saw the slap, and then I just knew that I couldn't wait till next Friday. And I hate that I have to wait till next Friday, but I know that the way they're building this whole thing up is going to be absolutely spectacular. Either some people are going to be extremely happy by night one and night two, or others are going to be extremely pissed off on those other nights. But I'm looking forward to hearing both sides of the coin, because I just can't wait for the chaos and for the uncertainty to finally blow over, and then we see the final result. I don't know what it's going to be still. I am not going to be saying any predictions just yet, but I am so excited. So excited. You see how hard I'm smiling? You see this?
I see it. I see it. It's a very, very good thing. Let's see. Lots of comments here in the chat. Boza says, nice way to look at this, Professor. It is what it is. I thought EO and Bailey would be the main event. Whoever ends up on night one, they will have to bring it. I want to say this, and at some point I may even do just kind of a full video on this. And we've said this before, but I think it bears repeating. I think a lot of people might be missing the plot here. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of people on the socials who are upset that EO and Bailey are not main eventing night one. I want to say something here, and I'm going to keep saying it until we fully understand it. When it comes to WrestleMania, the win is actually being on the WrestleMania card. Yes. That's what people are missing. All of this notion about main event, let's think about this. If you go back throughout the history of WrestleMania, has the main event always been the best match? Has the main event always been the most memorable match? Not at all. We can go back to WrestleMania 3. The match that brought the people in the building was Hogan versus Andre. The match that nobody could legitimately follow was Steamboat and Savage. That match impacted future wrestlers for years to come. We can even go back to last year where, you know, by all means, I think, you know, there are those who might argue what match should have main evented night one. Certainly the way that the Bloodline match was presented for the tag titles, I thought it was amazing and excellent. Mm-hmm. But Rhea and Charlotte said, okay, I'm going to make y'all work for this, and was a match that a lot of people were talking about. So I think what fans have to do, I mean, let's even go to WrestleMania 35, right? The main event being the first women's main event in WrestleMania history. But the moment that seemed to touch people the most was Kofi defeating Daniel Bryan, and that was in the middle of the card. So I just think that we have to reframe how we look at this and not solely, you know, put our energy behind, is she main eventing or not? Let's talk about that. She's actually going to have a great story coming into WrestleMania. And perhaps in another year, you know, in a different year, that might have main evented night one. But to me, I'm just glad she's on the card. You know, this is someone who was injured before and couldn't be on the card. This is someone who last year was in a six-person tag. Now she has her own singles match. So I think we just have to reframe it. Otherwise, if we spend our energy mad about them not being the main event, we will miss this amazing run to this event and whatever it is that she's going to accomplish in the story that's being told.
Yeah, right, it's not like other sports where you have like a main event purse, if you would.
Right.
To the Professor's credit, the big win is being on Mania card, because there's so many people that are dying just to be on the card. And another thing Professor brought up last week was the last time Dwayne was really locked in and active was all the way back in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Cena versus The Rock Part 2. And if you really want to look at that card top to bottom, because I was in the building, the match to follow was probably Punk and Undertaker. That probably was one of the better matches of the night. So you never know. You never know. It's not to say that Bailey and EO won't have an absolute speckle of a match. Not to say that the fans can kind of uproar and like get the response they want either. We've seen that happen. But I think this is big for everybody involved who's on the payroll, because you're getting Dwayne The Rock Johnson in a match on WrestleMania for the first time in what, like over a decade?
Correct.
I think as far from a viewership standpoint, and all the records they set, all the money they brought in, you might double that.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Let's also think about this too, because there are a few things that, again, I think people are missing. Number one, obviously you have The Rock finally in a main event at WrestleMania, which again, we haven't seen in close to 11 years. Let's also talk about the fact that Seth Rollins is main eventing both nights. Okay. This tag team match is a main event. And then they announced that his world title match is the co-main event of night two. So for a lot of people who were upset, you know, about calling this the secondary title for Seth, et cetera, and Seth never had his real main event WrestleMania moment, he gets it both nights. So, you know, I think, again, there's a lot of wrongs being righted in what we're seeing here with this WrestleMania. I think we just have to kind of really focus, you know, our emphasis on the right syllable, dare I say, so that we make sure we pronounce this thing correctly, because it's important. All right, let's see. Let's keep it going. Still crazy that Seth Roman and Cody will have to do two matches in 2 days. Well, not unheard of. I mean, people have done pay-per-views and then a Raw the next night, or a SmackDown one night and the pay-per-view the next night. Not unheard of, but I get it.
There's nobody more than capable.
Yeah. I mean,
who are we talking about? Because my biggest issue with this is that Seth is hurt.
Well, yeah. But you also have three workhorses in WWE that will absolutely protect The Rock, number one. And number two, when The Rock came in the first place and started saying anything about remotely anything wrestling or sports related, sports entertainment related, and joining back the WWE, he didn't say anything about winning a Rumble or winning gold or being a main event. He said he wanted to come back as long as it made sense to do something that's never been done before. And this has never been done before. This is completely unprecedented. And they're still with just these four men in this picture. And as I'm looking at it, there's so many angles, so many angles. So many stories, so many feuds, so much history, so much rich history. And if not for nothing, personally, if I'm Seth Rollins, I'm geeking like a freaking kid, okay? Because number one, Roman Reigns, who is part of the Samoan dynasty, The Rock, doesn't get any bigger than that, which I'm sure is why he's hell bent on working the way he is with The Rock.
Yeah.
And, you know, making it so intense. And I'm just like, if you're coming at The Rock, you better give it. So on Friday when he did, I was just like, okay. And then you have Cody, the son of Dustin, the son of the American Dream and Dusty Rhodes. And you know what I'm saying? There's so much rich history here, and there's so much rich history being made that people are completely missing the point just because it's going to be the story itself is going to be taking over both nights. Not for nothing, like we said before, every single superstar's main agenda is to eventually reach WrestleMania, no matter what order on the card. They all want their WrestleMania moment. So let them have they're all going to get their WrestleMania moment. This WrestleMania, by the end, and when we know the final card, everybody and IWC is going to shut the hell up. Just shut the hell up and enjoy the show, because guess what? Regardless if you like it or not, damn it, you'll respect it. And you're going to watch it anyway. So there's no point in putting so much energy and being upset as to why EO and Bailey ain't the main event. Guess what? EO and Bailey are they're probably chilling, laughing all the way to the bank, just saying, I'm just glad we're having a match. We get to do WrestleMania. Like we get to work. And not for nothing, it's Bailey and EO Sky in a main event picture. Like, y'all forgot EO Sky in NXT in her main events? You forgot about Bailey and TakeOver NXT main events? Do you guys really see what's going on here? Like, wake up, y'all, and smell the coffee. Smell it.
Well said. Well said. Let me see how many more of these we can get to. Boza says, will this set up Cody and Rock one-on-one at Night of Champions in Saudi in May? People aren't wondering that. It's an interesting thought.
I like that. You go, if Dwayne going to come back and have his name and rights and all that, you go get that bag, sir.
Listen, you know, that Saudi bag hits different. It hits very, very different. I think this upcoming SmackDown could be the last SmackDown he works for Mania. I know he is being advertised for this one in Memphis. I have not heard if he's going to be at any others, but he might. Who knows? All the more reason, though, if you're in Memphis, you want to get the SmackDown Friday. Cousin says, I think it gives many of the superstars who have been screwed over by the Bloodline a chance to help Cody overcome the numbers game. That's a great thought as well. Wow. You don't know who else could show up for that. If the creep we no longer speak was still in charge, we would be getting Rock Roman this year, so the fans should be happy. Interesting.
Creep is a very mild way of saying it, by the way.
That is. I applaud your diplomacy. I'm interested in the bout order for sure. For Mania, it'll be interesting to see who works night one. Ever since we had two nights of Mania, night one is good and the other night on paper, wow. I think the difference this year, again, is Triple H is fully in charge of both nights. We learned last year that Triple H was in night one and he who shall not be named was in night two. So now I think we really have something to look at. Night one certainly has been a blast on both on all accounts. Bobby,
can I say I didn't like the slap? I didn't like it.
The Cody slap?
I didn't like it. Why not? I feel like they're trying to make me suspend my reality with Dwayne just being like a very much larger man. Have you guys ever seen Snitch? His film Snitch came out 2013, where he was the trucker that had to smuggle drugs. And it's John Bernthal was the protagonist of this movie, or the antagonist, whatever, Michael K. Williams. And it's like,
oh my God, yes.
This guy is probably like 5'8", was hemming Dwayne Johnson up against a truck and like threatening him and punking him. He's like cowering away. It's like, I don't like to suspend my reality that much. I don't believe that somebody's going to smack this large man and nothing's going to happen. Remember, we were clamoring for the post-SmackDown footage. There was nothing.
Granted, I understand what you're saying, but also we got to remember these are businessmen, and Rock is a businessman now. He's got a different kind of image. But if this was back in 2000s, 90s Rock, he would have completely rock bottomed him and given him the works and the elbow and all of that. But we know that they're not going to touch each other until that night. They're not going to hit that, but the slaps are just the beginning. And I get that, you know, it's like an eye for an eye kind of thing. I didn't like the slap either, but I was rather shocked by it because that it happened. I didn't know it was going to happen right then and there. And then it happened at the very end, and I see the graphic and I'm like, you suck. You guys suck. You guys leave me with a freaking cliffhanger like that. And I'm just like, okay, just wait. I'm just shush and wait.
I'm liking the cliffhangers, I must admit. Let's see. I'm trying to get to these. We have so much to get to today. This is fun. Bobby says, I'm happy that Bayley is having a singles match at WrestleMania. Cindy, good to see you. I can't believe it took them almost 2 months to even make them a graphic to promote their match. I think she's talking about Bayley. It didn't take them 2 months.
Her comment about the 0-14 for the pretty much the Asian stars is actually a very good comment. If that's a real stat, if somebody can fact check that, that's something to look at.
Hmm. Let me find that. I'm sure it's here. Let me see. Io, Kairi, Asuka, and Shinsuke are 0-14 at Mania. That's the wrong to write. Yeah, somebody please go fact check that. I would if I had some time, because that's a strong statement, and I want to make sure that that's an accurate statement. Boza says, and this is basically ultimate humiliation. Either it's one-on-one for night two or basically no DQ. Bobby says, Seth and Roman have history with each other since both of them were in the Shield. Yeah, and Seth, I think you made a great point with that. I think we're in a case where with all four of these guys, you can't fully trust what can happen. You can't fully trust any of these unions because they all have the potential to have beef with each other. And I think that that's really interesting, for sure.
It's so funny nobody's talking about that. Do you remember how many times that Seth lost to that man clean?
Let's remember, he lost 3 straight pay-per-views clean. Even in Hell in a Cell, when the man had a torn pec and he still lost. I don't think he ever forgot that. And it's amazing to me that Cody just, and I know in the world of wrestling, when you have an enemy and you just need somebody to help you, when somebody steps up, you're grateful for it. But we're not even thinking, he's not even thinking about the fact that Seth could be rather angry about this and should be, I think. But, you know, who am I? What do I know?
One thing about all four of these men, all four of these men have turned on something in their careers and have turned the other cheek. And so you can, if you really want to think about it, you can't trust them.
Correct.
You can't trust their own. Maybe Cody's the only one you can lightly trust, but even still, Cody's not all the way off the fence with that either.
Yeah, I remember this is going to be hard times. He's recreating hard times. So
yeah. This is going to be very, very interesting. Let's see. Jesse, I will get to your Mercedes comment in a little bit. That's a promise. We've got that plan. So hold tight. Cindyo says, I got the 0 for 14 from a Dave Meltzer podcast 2 weeks ago. All the more
Uncle Dave.
All the more reason we should fact check it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So Dave moving Meltzer's from. Yeah, so moving from that, definitely a lot of other news in the wrestling world, including this piece of news. It was official Wednesday night. Kazuchika Okada, the Rainmaker, is officially All Elite. And not just is he All Elite, but he's the newest member of the Elite, which I think that was brilliantly done on AEW. On Collision Saturday night, he had his first official AEW match in a trios match where he did all the work, and he was amazing. Now, I'll tell you, I was honored to actually be there at Collision, and Okada looks amazing. That show was incredible. But really kind of the other big piece of news coming out of this is that Kazuchika Okada, number one, is moving to the United States, which I think is crazy. And then secondly, news about his contract has come out. And that news is saying that Kazuchika Okada has signed a 3-year deal worth $4.5 million a year.
You got to put the other one on there. That's, they said the way they worded it, 2 billion in yen.
Correct.
two billion in yen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that hits different. Kazuchika Okada,
it's international money.
I got breaking news.
Oh my god, what?
Breaking news. I don't have a graphic for it. It literally just popped across my phone. Here it is. AEW stars CJ Perry and Miro, their relationship is over.
Oh my
After
God.
7+ years of marriage, this just broke on TMZ.
Oh my God.
No way.
DJ Perry and Miro have called it quits on their 7+ year marriage. And unfortunately, this is not part of a storyline.
If you guys broke don't know, that's Lana and Rusev.
That is Lana and Rusev and the like. Let's see. It says they broke up once and for all, winter of 2023. They got married in July of 2016. TMZ has reached out to Lana. And here's what, CJ, this is what she said. She said, quote, Miro and I have made the difficult decision to separate after many years together and have decided to move on as friends and hopefully on-screen characters somewhere down the road. As for what went wrong, our sources say there wasn't an explosive fight or cheating. They simply grew apart over the years. This is shocking news, and this is the beauty of being all the way live. CJ Perry and Miro no longer together, according to TMZ.
That's so sad.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And that's
that's so crazy. But you never know what goes on, man. You just never know what goes on.
It also says that neither one have yet to file for divorce. So
we'll see. So this is a very Miro
moved back to Bulgaria shortly after the couple called it quits.
Interesting.
Wow.
Very interesting.
I hate to see that. That's, you know, especially you know, the impact that they had on the wrestling world together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and how they came in so strong, you know, but things happen and people grow apart and, you know, you could just wish them the best. And, you know, they said they'll continue as friends. So for as we know, it ended amicably, which is always a beautiful thing. But yeah, it's so always sad to hear about these kinds of things, too.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah. So did not expect that news to break, but here we are.
That's an interesting one. I wouldn't expect them to separate.
That's a wild piece of news.
It was an NWO situation, like a For Life. You know what I mean? Definitely thought so.
So very unfortunate. So somehow we move back to Okada, the Rainmaker. This is insane. And I will say, I think he is more than worthy of that amount of money. And given what he could be doing in AEW, I think this is going to be interesting. This is definitely top tier money in the wrestling business. Let's be very, very clear. There are probably maybe a handful, and I do mean on one finger, who might be making that kind of money in WWE. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting. Congratulations to Kazuchika Okada. We can call him what, the close to $15 million man? I don't know.
The Rainmaker.
I'm going to warn you now. This is an absolutely horrible segue, but I'm going to make it because there just seem to be splits happening in AEW. We just found out about CJ Perry and Miro splitting. And the news broke Thursday night about AEW parting ways with Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly, in case you did not know, was the lead announcer slash commentator for Collision ever since Collision began in June. They have parted ways with Kevin Kelly. I guess it's public news why. Let's just say it was based on some of his recent tweets that happened Sunday night during AEW's Revolution pay-per-view. And was not the best of situations. And so we'll keep our eyes on this one. Don't know if those issues will prevent him from working at another company, if he even has interest in still doing it. Certainly Kevin Kelly, prior to coming to AEW, was the voice for the English presentation of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And prior to that, of course, spent quite a bit of time in his formative years in the WWE, doing both backstage work and commentary. So it'll be interesting to see how this particular situation unfolds, but a rather serious situation involving Kevin Kelly, Twitter, and not really working well with certain other teammates. So very, very interesting for sure. Moving right along in the world of AEW, this week we learned one of the matches coming to their upcoming pay-per-view, as it all kind of spelled out between Dynamite and Collision, a dream match for sure. Will Ospreay, Bryan Danielson, one-on-one at AEW Dynasty on April the 21st. What are your thoughts on this one, honey?
Take my money. Is there anything else that needs to be said? Considering how Will Ospreay blew me away when I watched Revolution, and knowing what I've seen from Dan O'Brien, this match is definitely set to be a banger. And it's probably going to be one of those situations where it's like, it's not going to be the main event as we talked about earlier, but it's going to be probably the match of the night. So I look forward to seeing this work, this body of work from both of these individuals. That's going to be absolute fire.
Absolutely. Said,
this is going to be, it's going to be very interesting to see just because the contrast in styles. Bryan Danielson can work with anybody, and we saw Will Ospreay just put on that banger with Takeshita, and it was their first time ever engaging with each other. So just from that standpoint alone, I'm very interested to see the story that they tell in the ring with each other and how many minutes they allow both superstars to have. I think that's what I'm thinking about the most. Is this going to go 20? Are they going to give him 30? And what are we going to see with this contrast in styles for both performers?
Yeah, this has potential to be very, very, very special. how can he get fired for his crazy tweets, but fake TK can tweet up a storm and act like a child? Well, I'll say it this way, because the things that TK tweets about aren't about fellow employees and aren't considering accusing them of libel. Let's just say that. Now, hopefully that answers everyone else's questions about that. Let's see. Will Ospreay versus Danielson will be a great match. It certainly will. And Boza completely agrees with you, honey. Take my money. MDB has entered the chat. How many dream matches can Daniel Bryan have until they become a nightmare? you have such a way with words, sir. They wrestled each other in Ring of Honor, if my memory hasn't aged too much. Ospreay and Danielson, I don't think they have. And if they did, I don't, because Danielson hasn't been in Ring of Honor in quite some time. And so I don't know if Ospreay had been in Ring of Honor when Danielson was there, because that would mean Ospreay's been wrestling close to 20 years. And I don't think that's the case, but someone will obviously correct me on that. Either way, I do think this is going to be an absolutely incredible match. And again, this is, by his own admission, Danielson's last year in the business. And so if this is how you're going out with this string of matches you've been having, I mean, good grief, because his match Saturday night against Shane Taylor was a banger. I mean, a banger. So absolutely incredible. All right. Now then, getting up to a comment that was made earlier. I want to make sure I acknowledge him. Jesse made this comment. Do you think Mercedes Moné is crazy to possibly returning to WWE one day in the future and make AEW fans mad? So what people may not understand in terms of that reference is Mercedes Moné did an interview with a good friend of us, ours here at Women's Wrestling Talk, Evan T. Mack, on a great podcast called Kick Rocks Podcast. And there was a lot in that conversation with Mercedes, but there was a part that was not included in the podcast that ended up being included in an extra that was released. And in the extra is where she said that she still has unfinished business in WWE and at some point will return. And this is being said, of course, on the heels of many believing her set to make her AEW debut this Wednesday as part of Big Business. So let me ask you guys what your thoughts are. What are your thoughts on Mercedes Moné saying that at some point she will return to WWE, even though she's slated to work for AEW starting this Wednesday, according to what most people believe?
It's hard because I will say this, because I also know that my husband's watching, is a very huge fan of Mercedes Moné, and I'm not allowed to say anything bad about her, but not that I would, but I just want to see the girl succeed, and I just want to see her have a good run without injury, without any setbacks or anything like that. I want her to earn what she believes she deserves, and she's proved herself thus far. I believe that the interview was very shockingly emotional. Being that, you know, she comes off very guarded and very tough, you know, with her persona and everything, as I guess she's supposed to. But she, WWE has her heart, always will, you know, there's people there that she loves. Whatever she decides to do, and as far as people believe her, you know, making her debut this week, listen, just wish the girl the best, because, you know, like I said, at this point, it doesn't really matter where they go. You know, you're going to enjoy them regardless. She's one of those superstars for me. So I believe that she's going to do very well. And I'm really happy with whatever she decides, because she's going to prevail no matter what. She's big bucks all the time.
Big bucks and big business. Said, your thoughts.
This really set the internet into a storm. A lot of people really ran with the comments and tried to like make their own narratives off what they felt she meant. She said she had unfinished business in lots of places in wrestling. She said she knows she'll be back one day, which a lot of people say. That isn't, what if she just mean like, oh yeah, I know I'll be in the Hall of Fame. What if it's that? What if it's not necessarily wrestling? There's a lot of people that wanted to make more of the comments just because at the end of the day, we miss Mercedes. That's really what it is. She hasn't wrestled since New Japan Resurgence, where she got injured against Willow, and she's been a talking point ever since. How wild would it be if we get to Boston and all this big business stuff was nothing about her?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen so many big announcements and this, that, and the third AAW whoop that had nothing to do with Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before, like, what if she was just on like a per appearance basis? Like, there's not this big 2 billion yen type contract that Okada got, but she's just on a on a per basis, where it's like, hey, I'm gonna do 6 scheduled appearances with you. Think of it like a boxing or UFC contract, where it's like, hey, I'm on a 6 fight deal.
Mm-hmm.
What if it's something like that? And it's like, hey, I'm just gonna appear at 6 different events. This is my schedule. I'm still free to do everything else and own my naming rights. We don't know. But I think a lot of fans miss Mercedes, so they want to kind of project what they want her to be doing.
Right.
I think she's in control of her destiny more than most people can imagine. I think it's not out of the realm of possibility that if she were to go back to WWE, that it's under her current name and not Sasha Banks. I'm willing to bet that's a part of her negotiations now.
I think there are lots of possibilities. And I think what's so interesting about this is, for all that wrestling fans feel like they know, I feel like Mercedes and a lot of the wrestling business is about to show wrestling fans that we don't know what we think we know. Mm-hmm. You know, I think Mercedes could very well be in a space to do something that we've not seen other women do. Or other men do, quite frankly, other wrestlers do. So this is going to get interesting. And again, I do not know if she will, you know, I won't be able to say that she is officially All Elite until she shows up on our TV screen.
And that's why I didn't want to go deep into it, because I'm just like, girl, whatever you decide, just pick, just hurry up and pick, because everybody's dying to know and we're excited. We just want to see you back. No matter where you go, we're going to watch anyway. You know,
what's equally interesting is what we saw Trinity do as well. You know, when Trinity signed to TNA, I don't think anybody had on their bingo card A, her signing to TNA, or B, her returning to WWE in 9 months' time. Nobody saw that. So, to your point, said, we don't know how long this contract, if there is a contract with AEW, what it looks like. We don't know anything about that. And we may not know ever. We may just know if and when she shows up on our television screens. Let me dive into some of these comments, which are pretty interesting over here. Let's see. Bobby says, if Mercedes returned in WWE one day, she could wrestle against Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez, and other wrestlers. For sure. You know, one thing we haven't considered in terms of her return to WWE, the question becomes, what is the business that is unfinished? Is it necessarily something in the ring? She's had moments at WrestleMania. She's worn titles, pretty much every title there is for her to wear in WWE. The thought I have is, what if her return to WWE is perhaps in the most important place it could be, in an office space, in a creative space where she gets to actually represent what women need behind the scenes? That is way more powerful than her being on screen. And again, I think most times as fans, when we think about this thing, we're only thinking about what's happening in front of the camera. But she, you know, we're not going to wrestle for 30 years. I mean, I think that's safe to say. And I think for Mercedes, who's proven that she has interest in other places, she could very well end her in-ring career, but then make more of an impact outside of the ring, being able to, because, like, for instance, we don't know what kind of representation there are for women in the creative room, in the boardroom. You know, we miss Stephanie McMahon being in the space that she was in because we all knew she was an advocate, a very strong advocate for women's wrestling. We don't know who's taking up that charge right now. And I say this very carefully when it comes to, and we're in Women's History Month, us men, when it comes to women, we are allies and we should be allies. But nobody speaks for a people group like those in that people group. And so nobody can really speak to the concerns of women like a woman. And so while men do their best, I hope, to advocate for women and offer opportunities, we don't fully know what women need or what is of great value to women. Women do. So could it be that her unfinished business is not in the ring, but it's outside of the ring, making a much bigger influence for women's wrestling in the space like WWE?
Yeah, her unfinished business can be in an office because she's always considered herself the boss and the blueprint and in charge. That, you know, like why not? I was actually going to say something like that. Like, who's to say she's gonna even wrestle at all? Because as I was hearing you talk, Professor, I was just like, you know what? Her in the boardroom is a really good look. Mm-hmm. It's such a good look, and it can revive so many things that they kind of missed with the whole the women's evolution, with the, when they had the pay-per-view and right. stuff like that, and you know, like, open different doors, or mm-hmm. you know, or she can be not even just in a good, in, you know, in an advocating way. What if she completely turns into like a whole Triple H authoritative tyrant kind of thing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she could play both sides of the book, if you ask me, of the page. She could be a face one good way, and she could be a heel just as good as she is a face. Like, yeah. She, well, the thing that's so great about Mercedes is that she's become such a chameleon. She's become so adaptive to everything around her, right? And she's become completely aware. This is so much. This is a much more sure and reassured Mercedes in herself and who she is and what she stands for, what she believes, and what she wants to portray and what she wants us to see. But yeah, I would totally agree that could go to a boardroom real quick, and I think it would be a very good look for her.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Shadow Ranger is here. Good to see you. Says, I'll never understand why there haven't been a Mercedes is coming promo on AEW for the last month. I don't know.
And elements of surprise.
There are elements of surprise as a possibility. You know, who knows? Who knows? The real question is, will we see her Wednesday? That could easily explain, if she's not the one, why we haven't seen a Mercedes is coming. Don't know. Let's see. Cousin says, I want Mercedes to light a fire in AEW and shut the haters up. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Bosa says, I wonder if the things the IWC said every time she left, they claimed she had a temper tantrum, those comments got to her here. I don't know if fully understood that. Plus, when she was only two matches or three matches into her journey, she was injured. She still has some cooking to do. She definitely does. Eric says, Mercedes versus Toni Storm at Dynasty. That's really soon. Shadow Ranger thinks that's too soon. Don't rush Mercedes to the title. I agree with that, actually. I know Fightful reported that Mercedes has it in her contract that she can still work New Japan shows whenever. And there are certainly a few other AEW stars that do that. Hoping Mercedes winds up being a catalyst, if not the main reason, that Toni Storm loses the women's title. Let's see. I can see her going back as Mercedes Moné. I think she knows she did all she could do as Sasha Banks. And then Shadow Ranger says, no chance of that. If she goes back to WWE, she'll be Sasha Banks. I won't guarantee that, sir.
I would love for her to be Mercedes in WWE, honestly. I don't want the Sasha. I like Mercedes.
Yeah, I think it's all in how she negotiates it. And after all, Ty Dillinger came back as Sean Spears. So let's see. They better not have, I'm not even reading that. Boza, that's why I'm holding my breath. I don't want to say she shows up Wednesday and she doesn't. I'm prepared for Boston fans to be unhappy if she doesn't show up. And that's the thing. As much as people are swearing it's Mercedes, I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
When I see it,
then I'll go, Mercedes is all elite, and we can have the full Mercedes conversation. Let's see. She has the potential to do that, but AEW has to fundamentally change how they do things in order to grow past the hardcore audience they have already. I'm not sure one person can do that. I will say, in regards to AEW, that a large ship takes a little bit more time to turn. With that said, there have been some changes that have been happening. I don't know if people are paying attention to the changes that are happening, but there are changes that are happening both on and off screen that are really showing that AEW is certainly paying attention. Let's see. Terrence Childs. I think it's my first time seeing you here. Terrence, welcome aboard. Sasha Banks is not going to be allowed to return to the WWE, and we all know it. How do you know it? It needs to be more than a good look. Just because someone is a great wrestler doesn't mean that they'll be a great executive or booker. I'm aware of that.
No, but an on-screen GM like an Adam Pearce or the way Ava's doing, that would be good. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Is Sasha still in Japan or is she at AEW? She's a free agent right now. And maybe Wednesday we'll find out if she's AEW. Maybe not. Let's see. MDB, they're going to have Rio go over. You know, I'm glad I saw this comment. Did you see something else or you read that comment?
No, this is like football related. I'm sorry.
Okay. Listen, we already had one of those moments today, so that's where I'm like, okay, what's next? And now we see the full measure of MDB. He just wants reactions out of me. So this is going to make for a fun couple of shows. Shadow Ranger wants an argument. Ty Dillinger wasn't a star. He needed a new name for a fresh start. Sasha was a megastar. You don't change the name of a megastar. Okay, we'll see. There was a certain megastar named Razor Ramon and Diesel who left and became Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, their real names in WCW. And one would think certainly when they came back to the WWE, they would come back as Razor and Diesel. And they didn't. Megastars. So with
Ty Dillinger was very over, by the way. I don't want people to get it confused. Like they wouldn't have gave him the rumble spot if he wasn't over with the mainstream as well as NXT audience.
Absolutely.
Whatever they did with him when he got called up, that was their fault. But the man was over.
Yeah, absolutely. And so sticking along the same vein of New Japan, Mercedes Moné, Stephanie Vaquer became one of several to win titles over the weekend. She defeated Julia to become the New Japan Strong Women's Champion. This happened as part of a Stardom event, and this continues to fuel the rumors that are out there about Julia and her contract being up in March for New Japan and the potential of her showing up in other spaces. Some have rumored WWE. We don't know. What we do know for sure, Stephanie Vaquer is now a Triple Crown champion, holding this title along with the women's title in CMLL and the women's tag team titles. So congratulations to Stephanie Vaquer, and it'll be interesting to see what her run looks like in this particular space. Now, I mentioned titles changing hands this weekend. There was a pay-per-view this weekend, for those who may not have known. TNA Sacrifice took place this weekend, just 2 weeks after TNA's last pay-per-view event, No Surrender. Sacrifice saw several intriguing moments, including some title changes. The Knockouts World Tag Team Championships changed hands as MK Ultra lost the titles to Danny Luna and Jody Threat, both of whom were recent guests here as part of Women's Wrestling Talk. So you can check out their interviews on the website. So congratulations to them. In the women's element, Jordynne Grace is still your Knockouts Women's World Champion in a triple threat. She had a big win over Zaya Brookside and Tasha Steelz. So that was a big one on the men's side. We also have new tag team champions, Brian Myers and Eddie Edwards. They represent the system, and they defeated the ABC over the weekend. And then Moose, who is also a part of the system, retained the TNA World Championship by defeating Eric Young. So some cool things happening over there in TNA. They're getting ready for their next set of tapings, which strangely enough will be in Philly, but not during Mania weekend. It'll be 2 weeks before. And then, of course, their next pay-per-view, I believe, is in April. And I think that's a big one. And so we'll obviously be keeping you posted on all things TNA. Then there's this guy, Matt Hardy. Wow, we're doing good. We're sort of doing good. I don't know how we're going to get through all this. I'm looking at this like, I don't know. Matt Hardy, apparently his contract, he is confirmed, is nearing its end in AEW. Don't know if he's going to choose to extend or not, but should be an interesting time. I'm curious, and we'll take a little bit of time to talk about this. What are your thoughts on the run of Matt Hardy in AEW? Do you think it's been a win, a lose, or a draw?
I'll say a draw.
Okay.
Just for how it's been, I'm pretty sure they wanted to do more. They've been very vocal about doing more as the Hardy Boys the past year and some change. I feel like him specifically, Matt Hardy specifically, he peaked in the earlier stages of AEW. Mm-hmm. When he came over as Broken Matt, they had the vignettes. We had the very first Stadium Stampede. That's when that character work was at its peak. And then things fizzled out when you got, I wouldn't say it fizzled out. There was a little bit of staying power with like the big money Matt stuff for a mm-hmm. while, but then it never really like led to anything great. So I would mm-hmm. say not great, not bad, just like dead even. Just he was there. He's a part of AEW's history forever. But probably not the vision he had for himself and the legacy of the Hardy Boys carrying over into like a very deep tag division.
Honey, your thoughts on Matt Hardy's AEW career?
If I had to say win, lose, or draw, I'm going to say lose, in my opinion, personally.
Okay.
I've always loved the Hardy Boys, but Matt, I just feel like it just became a little stale for me when they moved over. And it was just, I feel like there's always a point. And I mean, I'm not one to tell people when their time is up or not, but I just felt personally that I didn't think I needed to see any more, but I understand it because of course it's hard to let that go, that feeling of working in front of a crowd, in front of thousands of people and performing and doing what you love. Of course, that's not easy to give up. But I don't know, it got a little stale for me, and I thoroughly enjoyed what Matt and Jeff had given us from the beginning when they first joined wrestling and then when they had their outstanding career in WWE. I think the both of them do need to give it a rest, honestly. I worry for them, especially with Jeff Hardy now. Like this guy doesn't get a break from anything as far as, you know, things happening to him in the ring or outside of the ring, you know. And just be with your family. I just feel like they've outgrown their time. They don't need to do anymore. Me personally, I just want them to just be happy with what they did do, and you know, whether I think they did good in AEW or not, somebody else is always going to agree to disagree in some other shape or form. But in my opinion, I just think that they gave me all they got personally from what I wanted from them. So I would say lose.
Interesting. So a number of comments. MDB says draw, but mostly mid. Boza says it's been underwhelming. Thought the Hardy Boys as a tag team would accomplish more. And yet, you know, my thoughts as I think about it, like obviously the concept of Broken Matt Hardy coming over to AEW during that pandemic era when they were in Daly's place could have resulted in more. The unfortunate thing is Matt Hardy, I think for a lot of us, has been a main event star, whether that was as part of the tag team, or certainly he's proven he could have a good singles run while he was a world champion over in TNA. You know, he obviously was never a world champion in WWE, but, you know, he did hold gold and he did do some significant things. I think the AEW presentation of Matt Hardy never, ever really got out of the blocks. You know, after the broken piece didn't work, you know, that whole run that he had with Ethan Page and that whole conglomerate was just confusing and weird and felt very much beneath what we knew of Matt Hardy. And then when his brother Jeff came over, you know, the two of them together, think about this. The Hardys versus the Young Bucks main evented a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, the Supercard of Honor. Main evented that pay-per-view the night before they went over and rejoined WWE. And, you know, several years later, that match ends up in the middle of Dynamite. You know, like it just doesn't hit the same. And so, yeah, I'm very, very, very curious about this. Let's see. Broken Matt during the work during the pandemic era when they got fans back, he was basically relegated to Rampage. Yeah, that's unfortunately happened. He has a podcast, The Broken Life of Matt Hardy, on his YouTube. Yes, yes, indeed he does. Fixed Matt Hardy doesn't have the riz of Broken Matt.
I like that.
So maybe we need to advise TK to perhaps have something for the comment of the day, because I think that one is by far the comment of the day. That is that's great. That's absolutely great. That is absolutely great. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we mentioned his brother Jeff, and I'm not sure if we've talked about this on this show. I do remember when this happened, us having a conversation about it and not being sure. So you remember Jeff Hardy and Guevara, Sammy Guevara. I'm looking right at him. His name was escaping me. They had a match on an episode of Rampage. At the end of that match, there were these pictures and videos floating around of there being a really angry exchange between both Matt and Jeff and Sammy Guevara, claiming that Jeff Hardy's nose was broken. Well, the word on the street is Sammy Guevara has been suspended indefinitely from AEW. And the reason for that was this. Apparently, during this match, Jeff Hardy had sustained a concussion. And apparently, during the match, Guevara was made aware of it and was told to end the match, did not listen, and instead did that move that he did, that 450, that ended up breaking Jeff Hardy's nose. And so the belief is because he violated that concussion protocol and did not listen, he is suspended. So that's why you've not seen Sammy Guevara on your AEW televisions. And that certainly adds a lot more context to that video that we saw that was floating around in terms of that exchange between Sammy Guevara and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, you can literally see Matt and Jeff just cussing them out, flipping them off immediately after the match, very upset, and it didn't look like it was something that was storyline at all.
Correct.
So yeah, I believe Sammy, like you said, was supposed to end the match, wasn't supposed to hit his finisher. Hit his finisher, it looked like Jeff was not in the right spot for it and took some serious head damage on top of the concussion, like you said, broken nose. Easily a way to be upset. I'm actually more surprised that they doubled down and suspended him for it. But good on the company for sticking to people violating the rules and obviously hurting other superstars.
Absolutely.
It's called accountability, and eventually you got to grow up and be an adult about it. This isn't the walk all over your kind of situation, you know, the boss and the corporates and all that stuff. But Sammy Guevara definitely doesn't have any pull as far as that goes. I mean, he's no stranger to screwing up and botches, which kind of has like had me on the fence about being a fan or actually like getting into him. I was never really fond of him. I kind of still am not. So, I mean, but it's in any given circumstance, you have to hold your superstars accountable for when they screw up. You can't just forget it like it didn't happen. This is a billion dollar company. You need to treat it as such, and you need to protect your superstars. And it's Jeff Hardy. It's Jeff Hardy. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Future Hall of Famer. Okay. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So
Boza raises an interesting point. He says, feels like Scammy is the scapegoat for the ref and Dr. Samson not doing their jobs. Happened with John Moxley, met Phoenix. 20 seconds in, John suffered a concussion, did about a 10-minute match with two Phoenix drivers. Let me speak to that, because on one hand, this I think honestly is, these are the challenges of television versus a house show. In a house show, there are a few things that factor. For one, a concussion can be very difficult to diagnose in the moment. It's not like a broken bone, which you could probably see, or a space where somebody can't stand up on their leg. If somebody is loopy but says they can continue, and you have some brief checks that you do and they say they can, so be it. If you become aware of something, and again, I don't want to take people too far in the business, but I will just say that there are ways to call an audible if something goes wrong, so that a match can be ended instead of having to be stopped. And remember, this match was a match for TV, the Jeff Hardy, Sammy Guevara match. Now, you could make the argument, sure, it was for Rampage and who was going to know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, A, you know, are you going to throw the whole thing out? And again, what's hard with a concussion is if you're still able to move around, and you still seem to be able to answer the questions, maybe you can continue, maybe you can't. Here's the other thing, though. If somebody is made aware that this is the case, I mean, like let me use a great example for you. Some may or may not remember this example, because somebody on a previous show had, or maybe it was a comment I saw on some other thing. If you'll remember, Owen Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin at that SummerSlam, for the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. When Owen did the pile driver on Stone Cold and Stone Cold couldn't move. The ref's working with Stone Cold. Stone Cold's trying to get up, but nothing's really moving. Owen is, you know, talking to everybody in the crowd, basically trying to stall. There's a decision that has to be made on live television in the middle of a pay-per-view. What happens? So what ultimately happens is they had a choice. Does Stone Cold continue to go and win this? Do we throw the match out? Does Owen do what he does? Well, there were no more offensive moves done during that match. If you go back and watch the match, you could almost guarantee with this feud, it wasn't supposed to end with a schoolboy. Pretty certain of that. But if you go back and look, somehow Stone Cold had enough power to get up and try to do that. It was the weakest schoolboy known to man. Owen could have physically kicked out, but he realized Stone Cold is severely hurt. Let's wrap this thing up and go home. Okay. If Owen had tried some other offensive move, there would have been a problem, a major problem, because somebody's life is at risk at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, you know, in terms of should the doctors do more? No, the wrestlers should have enough to be able to say, oh, you're hurt. Let's take it home and end this. Right. Because you end it and let him get care. That's one of the reasons why Here's what's interesting. Note who Matt and Jeff were mad at. Because referees don't have a problem, or wrestlers don't have a problem being mad at refs if refs are screwing up. But if other wrestlers go into business for themselves, take things into their own hands, they're going to be upset about that. And you're putting somebody in danger. So always pay attention to that kind of thing. I can't put the blame on the referees for this one when if the wrestler was made aware, okay. You know, so there's that. All right. All right, couple things, and this is really quick, but this was major. This happened on SmackDown. We found out that Prime, which is the brand for Logan Paul, will now serve as an official sponsor for WWE. But what's so unique about this, honey, you're hilarious, is that this is the first time that there's been a partnership between WWE and a brand where that brand's logo will be featured inside of the ring. That's major. I remember we talked about this several months ago, said in terms of there being the possibility that this could happen. And certainly during the old regime of WWE, it was something that was not really considered. But here we are now. What do you think about not specifically the partnership with Prime, but more so this new space that WWE is now putting themselves in, being partnered with varying brands potentially for them to be featured in this way?
We talked about this months ago. I thought there was a pathway to this. I didn't think it would look this hideous. This is bad. I really just want segments of Gunther just coming to the ring, tearing it apart every single week, just being pissed off that the match is no longer sacred. But it's just another thing is this big win for Logan Paul to get his Prime. I've never had a Prime energy drink, so I don't know what they taste like. But I didn't think this is like not subtle at all. Maybe I don't like it because it's like a big sore spot in the middle of the ring and it's the only one. Maybe we had others. Maybe they just positioned them where they're just in the corner spots only. But when I had this vision, I imagine it being on the ring aprons, like we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Slim Jim, other companies, ring aprons, maybe have ring aprons would also have like digital sides of the ring aprons that would just rotate ads. I thought it would be something like that. Mm-hmm. I almost hope they see the backlash for this, where it looks more like a boxing ring or a UFC ring. We already know the big TKO Endeavor stuff that this is probably inevitable, but there's a more tasteful way to do this because it just stands out too much. Mm-hmm. And by stands out too much, it doesn't mean add more. It doesn't mean add more and get more busy. It means like, hey, let's do this a smarter way. Maybe change the ads into the turnbuckles. Maybe the turnbuckles can be the advertisement spaces, but not like just a big picture of a drink in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. So for Prime Hydration specifically, they will be partnering some things across both TKO companies. So they'll be doing this in both the UFC and the WWE. Prime will be the official hydration drink of the UFC. They're also an official partner for the UFC Performance Institute, which I think is going to be very, very interesting. And then from there, this kind of branding for Prime specifically is going to happen at WrestleMania and at Money in the Bank. I'm hearing that this Prime Hydration situation will also have key placement within other events such as Survivor Series, match sponsorships, co-presenter designations for future PLEs, and some other things that are going on. So I think that's going to be interesting. Again, this isn't new for pro wrestling. New Japan has been doing this for quite a while. TNA is doing this as we speak. The difference, of course, is placement. To your point, said TNA has their things kind of in the corners with the TNA logo in the middle. I do think it's interesting that for as much branding as WWE does, that there's no WWE in the middle of the mat. But who knows? I also wonder how much money these slots are going for. because you've got to imagine it's a very pretty penny to have your logo there. Now, there's some interesting comments here. I'm just going to go to a couple of them before we keep moving. Boza had the same reaction as you, honey, yawning about this. And he went so far as to say, not rap is crap, but this is crap. he says it's stroking Logan's ego. I don't know if it's stroking Logan's ego as much as obviously there's some money involved in there. I'm not sure. Cindy Ol is moving towards close to the comment of the day. I want Gunther to spit on it. That comment is very, very close to the other comment from Special Nobodies. Barry Monkey says it doesn't look terrible in TNA, but apart from the company logo, it's just black writing. Let's see. I would take a backstage segment with the wrestlers drinking the way sponsoring it or having the water at the conference, but not like this. Interesting for sure. Okay. There was one other thing. Congratulations to WWE. 100 million subscribers on their YouTube channel. That's ridiculously amazing. Like,
yeah.
If ever you wonder the power of WWE, that is a big piece of news. And when you consider that that puts them among the top 10 brands ever on YouTube, that's like insane.
Wow.
That's really insane. Jeez. And let's put this into perspective for whatever people think about the WWE. 100 million subscribers is more than the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL combined. That's an insane number. A really insane number. So congratulations to the WWE. I think that is amazing. And we are ending on a good note. Congratulations are in order for Tennille Dashwood and the artist formerly known as Riddick Moss. They got married over the weekend. And as you can see, it was exclusively covered by People magazine. So that's a pretty big deal for sure. Congratulations to them. And I'm very, very excited about what they're going to be doing for the future. I think it's super cool that they get to have these moments. So that's really, really great. Congratulations to them. Wow. We've had a very, very full show. Monday Night Raw is coming in less than 30 minutes. We sort of apologize for the extended show, but I say sort of. It was a full show. You guys were fully engaged. You've rocked with us the whole time, and I greatly appreciate it. Now, don't leave yet because you got to figure out how to reach out to us. Yeah, that's kind of important. So, Seti Stead, how can the people find you?
Really quick. Also, Dom got married too.
Oh, he did get married. That's right, Dom. Right. There was so much that happened this weekend.
Yeah,
he got married. Mommy was there.
You see pictures of Ray dancing with Angie. It was cool. Yep. It was cool. Yeah.
Austin Theory was there. He was dancing with his mom. It was really nice.
Yeah.
I like to see them engage that way.
Absolutely.
It's fun. I don't know how people find that footage. Like, people are creepy. I don't know how they got that, whose socials they found.
Or maybe they invited some press. You never know. They probably did.
No idea. But
it might have been somebody that invited to the wedding. That's the crazy part.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah. You can find me here throughout the week. You can find me online at Sed Says on Twitter, CEWD_SAYS, and Sed is the answer on the gram. I have a website where you can find all my journalistic exports, CedricDWelton.com, as well as I write for Daily DDT. There'll be other content on the way soon, but if it doesn't come, blame Jacob. That's all I'm saying. You blame that man. Other than that, hit me up on the socials and let me know what woman you would like me to write about for Women's History Month, and I'll make it happen.
I love it. Love it.
The delivery of that. If TK were here, she would have a field day with it. But I'm
that
not
was a bad delivery.
It almost felt like time. Honey, did you? It felt like time stood still. He said, put in the comments, what woman? And I was like, what woman, what? You want me to write about? I was like,
okay. Cool. I just got to speed it up next time.
Please. I was like, oh, God.
Like, where is this going? Where,
PK would talk about this for weeks. So,
Lord.
Yeah. Good Lord. Honey, how can the people find you?
You can find me here Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with the crew at WWT. You can find me on Instagram, Wrestling with Honey, TikTok, Wrestling with Honey, Facebook, Wrestling W Honey, and my YouTube that's going to be up and running really soon, Wrestling with Honey Podcast. So, like, subscribe. I also got my Honeypot predictions up for the night for Monday night. I don't believe I'm doing a watch along tonight, but I will be watching and will be hanging in on all my stories. So if anybody wants to come in and engage in the DMs and let me know what y'all think of what's going on as the night progresses, let me know. And Friday, I also have my Honeypot predictions as well as my watch along here with WWT Live. So make sure y'all tune in because this Friday is going to be another good one. And that I know last week had me, my stress levels high. So we'll see what this week brings.
We love to see it. Cindy says that he married his high school sweetheart is great to see. That is great to see. I really like that. I really, really do. Summer Rae was at Tennille's wedding. That is pretty cool. Boza says, thanks for great news. And we thank you and all the everyone for being here. Special Little Nobodies want you to write about Miss Jacqueline. I think that would be a great article for to write about. She has accomplished much in the business, so I would love to see that. And Cindy says, my hair looked great. Thank you so much. I don't tend to wear it out very often, but here, we've got lots of hair hanging up here today. Of course, you guys can find me on the socials at Bonnerfied. You can check out my commentary work with IWE and Southern Honor Wrestling on IWTV. I had two big shows this weekend. I'm surprised that I have the voice that I have right now because yesterday, my voice, not good. But I can tell you that the show from Southern Honor is already up on IWTV, which is amazing. So you guys can go check it out now. I'm sure the show from IWE will be on as well sometime this week. You'll get a chance to see me in the commentary space. It's a lot of fun. So check that out. Check out my work also with All Caribbean Wrestling and with the Nightmare Factory on their respective YouTube pages. I have a show with the Nightmare Factory next Tuesday. Looking forward to that. And, not for nothing, I'll just whisper this because it's just us, right? Cody is always at the Nightmare Factory shows. So it's always kind of cool getting to interact with him. Always cool. All right. That was our little secret. Nobody else knows. From there, my work with Ashe Wrestling is available at ashewrestling.com. Two amazing shows that you guys can check out where you'll see me in a slightly different light than you see me right now. So check that out. And, of course, WWT Live. I've got a podcast called The Faction. Again, I've got some cool other content that you can see on my socials as well. So check out all of that. Shout out to all of you guys. Let me see how many I can rattle off here. Bobby and Cindy Olin, Special Little Nobodies, and, of course, Boza in the house. Matt, we see you. Eric Isaac. Who else? I'm missing the Shadow Ranger and Barry Monkey. And, of course, MDB, you didn't get much of a rise out of me today. Proud of me. Shout out to B. Pat myself on the back. Let's see. Who else? Lots of other people were in here. And for those, Terrence Childs, you commented today. Great to see you. And then for all of those who were just watching, thank you for watching. If you didn't chat wherever you're joining us from, we absolutely appreciate you. Make sure you're following all things Women's Wrestling Talk at WW Talk Pod. Great things are happening on our socials and at our website, www.talkpod.com. Check out all of the great shows that we have and join us back here on Wednesday, where I'm sure we'll be talking about Raw, NXT, and whatever else is going on leading into big business, as we will obviously speculate a whole lot more. All the things. Yeah, we'll talk about that and more in Boston on Wednesday. All the things. Yeah. It's all a part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.